I like that. Ready or not. Oh, shoot. Hey, everybody. How are you? Good to see you. I'm broadcasting from this. Should look familiar. Does that look familiar? Anybody recognize that? Whoops. There it is. See it? No? Y'all don't know where I am? Oh, come on. You haven't seen that back in the background before? Oops. Can't see it, right? No.
Tree house?
No, I'm at Regina's. You all have not been paying close enough attention to Regina, and I'm going to tell her. No, we had to come to Pueblo to get Tom's car, and yeah, timing worked out. She said, why don't you just stay there and teach? So I took her up on that. So we are here for our program, Something Genuine, and that is, as Don just said, we watch a TED Talk, and then we talk about it. So tonight's TED Talk, hopefully, Don, did you get the one that I sent you via email? Thank you. Tonight's TED Talk is Mel Robbins, and it's got a name. How to stop screwing yourself over. And in their subtitle, it's like, and get everything you always wanted or something. No. Yeah. George says yes. Anywho, it is the one that George recommended. He and I were texting back and forth the other day, but with the move, the text thread kind of got lost. So when he brought it back up this morning, I went, I have got to watch that. And yes, it's great. It's perfect. Thank you, George, for bringing it to us. Yeah. And anybody else that comes across a TED Talk that they like, please be sure and do as George did and recommend it. So Don's going to play that in a minute. We're going to take notes, at least bullet points, and so that we know, we remember what it is we want to say about the video after the video. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Don. Thank you, Don, for playing it.
Bigger welcome. Hello, San Francisco. TEDx. Oh, my God, blinding light. Hi, everybody. How are you? Fine. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my name is Mel Robbins, and for the last 17 years, I have done nothing but help people get everything that they want. Within reason, my husband's here. And so I've done it in the courtroom, in the boardroom, in the bedroom, in people's living room, whatever room you want to be in. If I'm there, I will help you get whatever you want by any means necessary. For the last 3 years, I host a syndicated radio show. 5 days a week, I go live in 40 cities, and I talk to men and women across America who feel stuck. Do you know that a third of Americans feel dissatisfied with their lives right now? That is 100 million people. That's insane. And I've come face to face with it in this new show that I'm doing, which is also insane. It's called In-Laws. I move in with families across America. You guessed it, who are at war with their in-laws. We move them into the same house. I verbally assassinate everybody. We open up Pandora's box. And I get people to stop arguing about the donuts and who's hosting Thanksgiving dinner and talk about the real stuff. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I'm here for you. I'm going to tell you everything I know in less than 18 minutes about how to get what you want. So I want you to take a millisecond right now, and I want you to think about what you want. You. And I want you to be selfish. Screw Simon and the wee thing. This is about me, right now. Sorry, Simon. What do you want? And here's the deal. I don't want it to sound good to other people. Being healthy will not get your ass on a treadmill. Losing your man boobs so you could hook up with somebody? Now that's motivation. So I want to know, what do you want? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to triple your income? Do you want to start a nonprofit? Do you want to find love? What is it? Get it right here. You know what it is. Don't analyze it to death. Just pick something. That's part of the problem. You won't pick. So we're going to be talking about how you get what you want. And frankly, getting what you want is simple. But notice I didn't say it was easy. It's very simple. In fact, if you think about it, we live in the most amazing moment in time. So that thing that you have up here, whatever it may be, you want to use healthy eating to cure your diabetes, you want to figure out how to take care of the elders and start a new hospice center, you want to move to Africa and build a school, guess what? You could walk into a bookstore right now and buy at least 10 books written by credentialed experts on how the hell you do it. You could Google it, and you could probably find at least, I don't know, 1,000 blogs documenting the step-by-step-by-step transformation that somebody else is already doing. You can find anybody online and cyber-stalk them. You can just walk in their footsteps and let them, you know, just use the science of drafting. Follow what everyone else has done, because somebody else is already doing it. So why don't you have what you want? When you have all the information that you need, you have the contacts that you need, there are probably free tools online that allow you to start a business or join a group or do whatever the heck you want. It all comes down to one word. Shut the front door, you know what I'm talking about? The F-bomb. It's everywhere. You hear it all the time, and I honestly don't understand what the appeal is of the word. I mean, you don't sound smart when you say it. And it's really not expressing how you really feel. It's sort of a cheap, you know, shot to take. And of course, you know, I'm talking about the word fine. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, really? You are? Dragging around those extra 40 pounds? You're fine? Feeling like roommates with your spouse? And you're fine? You haven't had sex in 4 months? You're fine? Really? I don't think so. But see, here's the deal with saying that you're fine. It's actually genius. Because if you're fine, you don't have to do anything about it. But when you think about this word fine, it just makes me so angry. I mean, here we are at a conference about being alive, and you're going to describe the experience of being alive as fine? What a flimsy and feeble word. If you're crappy, say you're crappy. If you're amazing, say you're amazing. Tell the truth. And this not only goes for the social construct, oh, I don't want to burden you with the fact that I hate my life, or, you know, hey, I'm amazing, but that would make you feel terrible. The bigger issue with fine is that you say it to yourself. That thing that you want, I guarantee you, you've convinced yourself that you're fine not having it. That's why you're not pushing yourself. It's the areas in your life where you've given up, where you've said, oh, I'm fine. My mom's never going to change, so I just can't have that conversation. I'm fine. You know, we got to wait until the kids graduate before we get divorced, so we'll just sleep in separate bedrooms. I'm fine. I lost my job. I can barely pay my bills, but whatever. It's hard to get a job. And, you know, one of the reasons why this word also just annoys me so much is scientists have calculated. Oh, yeah, I'm coming down. Scientists have calculated the odds of you being born. That's right. They've crunched the numbers. I see you up there. They have crunched the numbers on you. Yeah, no, you guys standing up, you want to sit down for this. They've crunched the numbers on you being born. And they took into account all of the wars and the natural disasters and the dinosaurs and everything else. And do you realize that the odds of you, yeah, right here, put your computer away, stand up for me, Doug. So the odds of Doug here, turn around, say hi to everybody. The odds, yeah, of Doug being born at the moment in time he was born to the parents you were born to with the DNA structure that you have, 1 in 400 trillion. Isn't that amazing?
I'm so lucky.
Yes. You're not fine. You're fantastic. You have life-changing ideas for a reason, and it's not to torture yourself. Thank you. Thank you, Doug. And you know, Christine was right when she said all of you could be on stage, because all of you, we're all in this category. 1 in 400 trillion. All day long, you have ideas that could change your life, that could change the world, that could change the way that you feel. And what do you do with them? Nothing. Oh, hopefully I won't moon you. You didn't pay for that. And I want you to just think for a minute. Because we all have, I love to use the analogy, the inner snooze button. You have these amazing ideas that bubble up, right? You've been watching people all day, and I guarantee you, like, you know, ping pong balls, boom, 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 boom. You've got an idea, oh, I should do this, I should do that. And every time you have an idea, what do? Boop, hit the snooze. What's the first decision you made this morning? I bet it was to go back to bed. Yep, the first decision today, I'm 1 in 400 trillion, I'm going to go back to sleep. And I get it. Your bed is comfortable. It's cozy. It's warm. If you're lucky, you've got, you know, like somebody that you love next to you. Or in my case, I've got my husband and my two kids and possibly the dog. And the reason why I'm bringing up this first decision that you made today and the inner snooze alarm is because in any area of your life that you want to change, any, there's one fact that you need to know. Just one. You're never going to feel like it. Ever. No one's coming. Motivation isn't happening. You're never going to feel like it. Scientists call it activation energy. That's what they call the force required to get you to change from what you're doing on autopilot to do something new. So try this test tomorrow. You think you're so fancy, I know you're attending TED. Try this. Tomorrow morning, set your alarm for 30 minutes earlier. And then when it goes off, take those sheets, throw them off, and stand up and start your day. No snooze, no delay, no, I'll just wait here for 5 seconds because Mel's not standing here. Do it. And the reason why I want you to do it is because you will come face to face with the physical, and I mean physical, force that's required to change your behavior. Do you think that somebody who needs to lose weight ever feels like going on a diet? Of course not. Do you think they ever feel like eating boiled chicken and peas instead of a croissant? I don't think so. The activation energy required to get your ass away from your computer and out your front door to go on the walk you said that you were going to go on is the exact same amount of force that it takes you to push yourself out of a warm bed and into a cold room. What's interesting about being an adult is that when you become 18, nobody tells you that it's now going to be your job to parent yourself. And by parent yourself, I mean it's your job to make yourself do the crap you don't want to do so you can be everything that you're supposed to be. And you're so damn busy waiting to feel like it. And you're never going to. My son never feels like getting off his DS. That's my job. Get off the damn DS. Kendall, clean up the Barbies. If you're going to have a nude party in my bathroom, at least clean it up. God, chew with your mouth closed. We're not in a barn for crying out loud. All right, dinner's coming. Get out of the pantry. As parents, and you were a kid, your parents make you do the things you don't feel like doing. Because you won't. Ever. Not now, not then, not ever. And even when you get good at something, you'll figure out something else you don't want to do. And then you'll plateau out and you'll get bored. And you're like, I hate this job. This is boring. But will you look for a new one? No. You'll just bitch about that one. It's very, very simple to get what you want. But it's not easy. You have to force yourself. And I mean force. And the reason why I use the word force, when Roz was up here and talking about the emotion tracking, and she had the picture of the two sides of the brain, I look at the brain the exact same way. Only I describe one side of your brain as autopilot, and the other side is emergency brake. That's the only two speeds you get. Autopilot, emergency brake. And guess which one your brain likes better? Autopilot. You've had the experience where you've driven to work, right? And you get there and you're like, oh my God, I don't remember driving here. You weren't drunk. That was your brain on autopilot. It was functioning just at this level. And the problem with your mind is that anytime you do anything that's different from your normal routine, guess what your brain does? Emergency brake. And it has that reaction for everything. Everything. You walk into the kitchen and you see everybody's left their breakfast dishes for you. And you think for the 100th time, I'm going to kill them. In fact, I'm going to leave them here and I'm going to make them do it. But that's not your normal routine, is it? So your mind goes, emergency brake! And you go right into autopilot. I'll just load it and be pissed and then not have sex. That's what I'm going to do. So when I say force, anything that's a break from your routine is going to require force. And if you think about your life, it's kind of funny because we, you know, are kids and then we become adults and we spend so much time trying to push our life into some sort of stable routine. And then we grow bored of it. You wake up at, what, the same time every day? You have largely the same breakfast. You drive to work the same way. You show up at work. You look busy. You avoid making calls. You update Facebook. You attend a meeting and doodle the whole time. You go back and update Facebook. You make plans for the evening. You look busy some more. Then you drive home the same way. You eat largely the same dinner or, you know, variety of it. You watch the same kind of media. And then you go to bed and do the same thing all over again. No wonder you're bored out of your mind. It's the routine that's killing you. I have this theory about why people get stuck in life. So most of you have probably taken your basic Psych 101 class and you've bumped into Andrew Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Well, your body is kind of cool because you have these basic needs. And your body is wired to send you signals. If you are hungry, or I mean, if you need food, what do you feel? If you need water, what do you feel? If you need sex, what do you feel? Thank you. I think when you feel stuck or dissatisfied in your life, it's a signal. And it's not a signal that your life is broken. It's a signal that one of your most basic needs are not being met. Your need for exploration. Everything about your life, about your body, grows. Your cells regenerate, your hair, your nails, everything grows for your entire life. And your soul needs exploration and growth. And the only way you'll get it is by forcing yourself to be uncomfortable. Forcing yourself to get outside. Out of your head, thank you. If you're in your head, you're behind enemy lines. That is not God talking. Okay? It's not. In fact, if I put a speaker on it and we broadcast what you say to yourself, we would institutionalize you. You would not hang out with people that talk to you the way you talk to yourself. So get out of your head. Your feelings are screwing you. I don't care how you feel. I care about what you want. And if you listen to how you feel, when it comes to what you want, you will not get it. Because you will never feel like it. And you need to get outside your comfort zone. It's not about taking risks. It's about getting outside your comfort zone. Those first 3 seconds when you push yourself out of bed, they blow. But once you're up, it's great. Those first 3 seconds when you're sitting here in a studio or a stadium like this and somebody says, get up and come dance, and you think, oh, I should do that. And you're like, oh. That experience that you had where you had the impulse to do it, and then you didn't do the activation energy required to force yourself, your emergency brake got pulled. I'm sitting right here. I'm not going up with those crazy people. I don't like to dance. I don't anyway. But what happened for me is I came up and I bumped into Rachel, and then we started talking, and next thing you know, she's tweeting. And we're friends. And boom. Get outside. That's where the magic is. That's where the one and 400 trillion exists. So everything I do, okay, this is the last part, sorry. So one more thing that you can use, I call it the 5 second rule. Your mind can process a facial expression in 33 milliseconds. It can move pretty damn quick. The other thing that it does very quickly is if you have one of those little impulses that are pulling you, if you don't marry it with an action within 5 seconds, you pull the emergency brake and kill the idea. Kill it. If you have the impulse to get up and come dance while the band is playing, if you don't stand up in 5 seconds, you're going to pull the emergency brake. If you have an impulse about you were inspired by somebody's speech today, and you don't do something within 5 seconds, write a note, send yourself a text, anything physical to marry it with the idea, you will pull the emergency brake and kill the idea. Your problem isn't ideas. Your problem is you don't act on them. You kill them. It's not my fault. It's not anybody's fault. You're doing it to yourself. Stop it. I'm counting on you. One and 400 trillion. You got stuff to do. And it's not going to happen in your head. So I want you to practice this today. When we go off to party, thank God it's coming soon, because I think we all could use a cocktail. I want you to practice the 5 second rule. You see somebody and you think they have that impulse, they look interesting. Walk over there. You were inspired by somebody and you have a request, make it. That's why you're here. Experiment with it, and I think you'll be shocked about what happens. And one more thing, you know, I want you to know that everything that I do, whether it's the radio show or the television show or the book that I wrote or the column, it's for you. And if there is anything that I can do, if I can do anything to make you do the things you don't want to do so you can have what you want, I will do it. But you need to walk over, you need to open your mouth, and you need to make the request. You got it? Good. Go do it. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, stand up. You have the impulse. Stand up. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, again, thank you, George, for providing us with that TED Talk. It was truly a good one. There's so much good stuff in here. But I will turn this floor, microphone. Hey, Jay. Jay says, get up. Okay, all right, I'll get up. I will turn this over to you guys. To begin comments.
I have a comment. This is Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey. I practiced the 5 second rule already today consciously. It was about just actually a couple of different times. So I'd already heard you talk about that. I must have, because
well, George talked about it this morning.
Yeah, George talked about it this morning. And I do notice, just from observing myself, if I don't act on it immediately, it's harder. It's not that I don't do it. It's that it takes more oomph to do it. You know what I mean? So it's just easier from the sake of ease and less effort. I notice doing it quicker helps with less amount of oomph you need to do it.
Yeah, George. Thank you, Jay.
You know, I love this lady. You know, she's very direct, and I think she just says what we really all of us know. Our biggest enemy is complacency, accepting the status quo. You know, I mean, how many of you have seen a product that you had in your mind that actually somebody else manufactured? I have. You know, I've had product ideas. It's like, and then a few months or a few years later, somebody else has the same idea.
And the $1 million.
So she was very clear, very, you know, it's a simple process, and it's good to be reminded that, you know, we all have to get out of our comfort zone to really accomplish anything. So that's, if our status quo is okay, if it's fine, then we have to have that realization to be motivated and use these tools. I mean, I love that 5-second rule. You know, if you have a thought or you have an impulse and you don't act on it, the likelihood that you're going to act on it is rapidly diminishing. So from a standpoint of spiritual awareness, spiritual awakening, you know, we have a golden opportunity here. We have an opportunity that very few people in the world have, you know, because they just haven't been exposed to it. They haven't realized it. They haven't listened to that inner voice. And yet we also have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to do the things that we don't really want to do, develop those habits that we are different, and just go for it. So, you know, we're not talking about just a good life. We're talking about going into another dimension that is just so unimaginable. I think when we get there, it's kind of like, well, why in the world did I do this sooner? All right, I'll stop.
Thank you, George. Again, I appreciate you sharing the video. I appreciate you sharing your comments. You know, it's as you were speaking, I was reminded of that mystical experience that I had at that Enlightenment intensive where I really got that what we are flows like a river, you know, just the energy of life flows like a river. And what ego does is like wants to cling to the banks of the river, you know, wants to bring that floodgate down. I want to pick a point in time and I want it to be this way and I want it to be this way forever. It's just that's, you know, ego's just real static like that and wants everything to be like that. And so it's just, it's really cool to see that, you know, you've got to fight that inertia of ego, because that's what it solidifies, you know, it pulls everything down into it. Anyway, that's the primary thing that has to be done. You have to be willing to get up off your, I think she said the word ass, get up off your ass and out from in front of the computer and do what your heart is calling you to do. Okay, but I'll leave that there for right now, and I'll turn this over to whoever else wants to speak. Shauna, you go, and then we'll let Glenn go.
Okay. Thanks again, George. This is a great suggestion. The first thing I want is her figure.
Yeah, you and me both.
So, geez, 100 million people are unsatisfied with life. And I thought that was a low number from the people that I'm around, except for like everybody, actually, if they're truthful, seem to be unsatisfied with their life. So getting what you want is simple, but not necessarily easy. So let me go down to Osain Fine. And I remember myself doing that a lot, and I don't do it as much anymore because I've wanted to be more honest about where I'm at in the moment. Although, again, I do feel that not wanting to burden people. Oh, I feel like crap, and this is why. You know, sometimes I don't want to do that, but it's like, I'm okay instead of I'm fine. I try to be a little more honest with where I'm at in the moment. And not pushing myself. That's so important. It's out of the comfort zone. And Regina is really challenging us here locally to go out of our comfort zone. And I did that 2 weeks ago going to what was that called? The dance.
Ecstatic dance.
Ecstatic dance, that was it. And I'm scared to death of dancing in front of people. So my mind was just going round, 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 round. I was like, oh my God. And I stayed back in the dark and I danced for a little while in the dark. And then I was just like on the ground practicing rest, accept, and trust, rest, accept, and trust. And it was just an amazing thing to push myself into that uncomfort zone, right? So this is what's so important for me, for my spiritual growth, is to continually move out of my comfort zone in any way I can see, especially to do exactly the opposite of what my ego is telling me. And I love her idea of the activation energy and taking the first 5 seconds to do that. That's so true. And I really resonated with that. The first three or four seconds you get out of bed, it's cold, it's uncomfortable. But after that, then I want to start my day. So I'm going to apply that 5-second activation rule that she came up with for a lot of things in my life. And then she also said, a signal that one of our most essential needs is discovery. So discovery, curiosity, looking at life with a curious inquiry, like what more questioning instead of just accepting what I see or what my senses tell me. And then she said, as we know, we're doing it to ourselves. I'm doing it to myself. And what'd she say? Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it. So thank you for that. It was just wonderful.
Thank you, Shauna. I appreciate you sharing. You made a lot of good points. So again, thank you. And Glenn?
Oh, I'm half of one, sixth of the other about this kind of thing. I really do think that those are really valuable things to remember. But Yolanda is one of the most prolific people that I know. She's out today filming on 2 different web series today. She writes things down in the calendar. She structures it. I mean, she actually has grids and things that she puts together and organizes her time and what songs have to be done and all this other stuff. She is amazing. And all that prep and all that stuff makes when you experience her performance, it just looks like she's phoning it. You're just like, it's so easy. It's just so lovely because she really is disciplined about all of that stuff. And I have found that I love teaching. So you don't have to get me out of the door or remind me or have me prepare a lesson or anything like that. I'm on it. I'm just, on it. I love doing it. I do it twice a week. But I don't want to go and the reason why that this is such a difficult thing for me, the motivation to start, because I'm really good at starting, but I'm not very good at completing. I've got a million things that I've started. I've got million and one that I haven't completed that are not complete. You know, in fact, I got some, you know, things here that I'm looking at right here on the, you know, that I want to be working on with good ideas and stuff. And one of the reasons why I have Wednesday night class is because Yolanda said, you have to get out into the world and do what is yours to do. You just have to go out and do it, you know? And I want, for me, it's about people seeing me fail. Is why I don't get up, or I don't participate more. It's because it's difficult for me in my own personal relationships for people to see me not do it well, you know, on the first try or whatever like that. Because, you know, I'm a smart guy, I'm pretty athletic, everything is pretty, come pretty easy to me. So when I don't do something really well, it, you know, it's something I've had to really work at. That permission to do it, to get up early, to it's, for me, how I experience it is the permission to do, to live the life the way I want it to be lived, you know, instead of saying, trying to accomplish more. Her talk sounded really goal-oriented to me, mm-hmm. and really hierarchical and money-centric and, you know, world and status conscious. And, you know, so those are kind of red flags for me. That's screams of manipulation, you know, that I need you to treat me this way, but I don't really believe, I don't. You know, and that's everything. What, how you treat me is everything, and I don't want to live that way. So it's like, how, but she gives good advice. It was, do it anyway without any need for the result to be a certain way. Yeah. You know, because that's what stops me wanting the result to be a certain way. Being able to count on that I'm going to do it well or do it right or get it or whatever. You know, I want the result to be a certain way. That's what stops me. And I think a lot of us with social anxiety, it's enough to just say fine, you know. I know a lot of people that, you know, have a lot of social. My supervisor has really won't look me in the eye. He's one of those people that is like really challenged as far as like social interactions to do. He's a whiz on spreadsheets and numbers, and you know, he's a good employee. He's a really nice guy. But he just doesn't do social well. He just, small talk and all of this, he cringes when I try to engage him in small talk. Really just cringes. So, you know, I don't think we all need to be out there and, I don't need you to, I mean, do what is yours to do. And I think that looks different. And the idea of answering the question is like, what are you not doing that you want to do is better than it looked like to me. She was trying to say, I know you want to be doing more.
Yeah, I really appreciate the way you were you're phrasing that. Why aren't you doing what you want to do? That's really the question.
Yeah.
And here might be a reason. This might get you kickstarted on what it is that you want to do, not something that you have to do that somebody else thinks you should do. But if you're not doing what you want to do, why not?
Yeah. It's for me that I won't do it well. It won't be perfect. It won't be good enough. Well, I have a class that I've been teaching, or in Course in Miracles, is going on 10 years now. You know, I get up every, you know, and go do that. And I love it. And I've done it with, and there have only been 3 times in 10 years where nobody showed up. You know, and I still gave the lesson. I want you to know that I still gave the lesson.
That's great.
You know, because that is mine to do. I mean it, you know. But I, you know, I would like to be a little bit more, or let me say it this way. I'd like to be a little less addicted to the small rewards, the small serotonin rewards of Facebooking and Twittering and, you know, phone stuff. And I'd like to let go of a lot of small rewards in my life that keep me strung along and start beginning to work on putting the system together or the tasks that have the big payout, you know, like the book or the talk or the, you know, the thing. That's more what I have trouble doing, because one of my core hurts or wounds is that nobody wants to listen to me, and I don't have anything to say to the world. That, you know, just be quiet. You know, you don't have the you're not capable. You know, no one wants to hear from you. You know, you're not qualified to speak. That's my core thing. So to put myself out there and try to offer the world those things, I have to literally walk through my own sense of, you know, ugginess, you know, that wet blanket feeling. I have to walk through it anyway. And I do it more and more, but, you know, and I'm like her. Ask me to help. I'll probably help you faster than I'll help me, you know. Ask me to help, and that'll get me out of my comfort zone, you know. So I'm trying to volunteer more and commit to being places, you know, and like volunteering. Volunteering has been really good for me because it gets me out into the world where I can have more relationships, which I need in my own thing. Because Yolanda can't be everything, you know, to me. She just can't. She's just like, get out of the house. Go to the meetings. Stop lecturing me. Because it's going to come out. And I want it to come out in good ways, right? Thanks.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate your share. I do. Thank you. And Lynn offered to share. Lynn?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a little bit under the weather, so bear with me. I like two of the things that she said. First, that the mind is on autopilot or put on the emergency brake, you know, and I find like that is my self-talk, that emergency brake, you know, or the autopilot. It's like, you know, I need to remember to just pause to let the reflection in. And I thought, you know, how important it is that we need exploration and growth. We need to keep growing. But I love the 5-second rule. And what I've noticed is as I mature, I have to do it in the 5 seconds or I forget. So it's really, I'm doing it in other ways, you know, but it's true. You know, if I don't do it, I'm going to forget. And everybody thinks, oh, you do things so quickly. And I was like, if I don't do it, I'm going to forget. So that was my take on it. But thank you. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thank you, Lynn, for sharing. And I forget to put up my stuff where I can see folks when they electronically raise their hand. So I apologize, Rhoda, you electronically raised your hand. So anyway, take the mic, please.
I like to play with toys. I'm really into electronics. So, you know, anything that I can do without. Anyway, I actually really appreciated I appreciate what you were saying about it feeling a little over the top in terms of the money part of it. But I think the piece that really spoke to me was long ago, I had read a story that was written by the Arbinger Institute, and they had talked about this moment where you get a inkling of something that you should be doing. And I've personally fought with that inkling because my ego has been giving me a war around what's really inspired guidance versus what's just the ego chomping at me. So I really appreciated what she said because it all just kind of solidified and came together for me, because that was the same thing. When you act against that moment of inspired guidance, that moment of inspiration, that moment of go do something, then all of a sudden you start to come up with all these excuses about why you didn't do it. I was tired. The sheets were too comfortable. You know, it's that sort of dialogue that starts to happen, and you start to find fault in others. Why, you know, oh, so-and-so needed my help, or I, you know, I couldn't possibly, you know, do it because the kids need me to cook dinner, or whatever my excuse for the day might be. So I really appreciated it, because it just, it almost said to me, stop questioning that first instinct. Stop questioning it.
Yes. Just
do it. Don't have to worry about whether it's inspired guidance or not. It's going to come out beautifully. Just trust it. Just trust
it. So in fact, Regina gave me that same advice years ago. If that's how you learn to hear guidance, is by trusting it. So like you just said, it's going to turn out great regardless of whether it was really inspired guidance or not. And it turns out more great, more often, right? Because you come to learn that guidance, and that guidance isn't going to argue or knock you on the head to get your attention. Mm-hmm. The only way you get to hear it is by trusting it enough when you do hear it to follow through on it. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Rhoda.
No, you didn't interrupt at all. Thank you. No, I was just agreeing. Sorry. And still unmuted. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Jacqueline. Yeah, no, that's all I wanted to share. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's perfect. And then and Lulu wanted to share.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Lulu.
Wow. And you know what? Somebody showed me another W when you put your...
Oh, nice. Willingness.
W. you know, this is a great one. And, you know, it ties right into last week. Just coming off last week, the sound, you know, I was thinking about that through the week. I was like, wow, you know, being in that higher vibe, you know, maybe that, you know, you're used to being in like a lower vibe, but like allowing myself to get in these different vibes, because it does seem to just default sometimes. So I saw how, yeah, like even if there is purification, like we can still put ourselves in these vibes. And let's see, I just want to share, I don't know if you guys can see this, but I mean, I'm a writer and these are all my ideas that like come to me. But what happens is I like lose this thing and then like I misplace it. So I'm making a point to like keep it right by, this is kind of my spot here, to come back to this, because, you know, we all need reminders. And I like what she said. I don't know what she was talking about with the new Barbie party. I laughed at that. And that's when I laugh, that's good, man. And just to snooze, you know, my alarm goes off, my phone goes off at 5, and I snooze till like 6, right? So last night something said, you know what, delete those snoozes. And I like what she suggested about getting up early. And I know we're, so just, you know, fine or F-U-C-K are both lies, you know? you know, for me, and I always appreciate the honesty, and I've, as you know, lots been coming up for me, and I feel like I had a huge chunk, and I don't know. I mean, if it's more is meant to come, okay. But I'd like to climb for a while and have some fun and enjoy more, you know? Because I feel like I've been like serious, intense, and it's not who I am. It's not who I am. It's just, you know, whatever. But coming to be looked at and that energy. Yeah, and I just want to share real quick kind of a fun thing that happened for me. As a friend had said, she wanted to read The Untethered Soul together. And so I got the audio book and I put it on hold or request at the library, and it still hadn't come in. And just better for me, I think, to have a physical in my hand sometimes than an audio. It just helps me kind of like stay with it. And on Friday, another friend said, you know what, Michael Singer has a church an hour from you. So wow. I was there today. I got to meet Michael Singer. I bought the book. It's so hippie over there, y'all. There's 600 acres of farm. And I brought my guitar and I set up on in this huge field. With, they have a couple picnic tables and they have an after service prayer, like a circle and refreshments and stuff. And his merch is out there. And I got my picture with him and I got the book and I was playing my guitar. And the next thing I know, like a horse back rider comes up just out of the blue. It's like wood. It's just very free flowing. And it's a place for me to kind of flow into with my music. And the sanctuary is open 24/7. It's in Alachua, Florida, which is North Central. And, they're having like Thanksgiving dinner, like a potluck vegan. So I'm just, see, those little gems, like, and he talked about in his talk today, the collection of the energy of the ego. And this is what we're doing. We're the collection, we're desiring to be free from it, right? And I just saw the circumstances in my life, you know, just with, you know, the one friend and then the other one actually telling me how close they were to me. And then I was there today. So I am wide open to that. And just that 5-second rule that she's talking about, like, that's the point of decision. You know, that's the point to say, do I want to stay stuck? And just not thinking and moving. But like within that 5, like it's, anyway, so great to be with you. And later for now. Bye.
Woo-hoo! Woo! How wonderful is that? And that's what a great demonstration that is. I mean, you could have gone, oh, it's an hour, and I don't know what it's going to look like when I get there, and, you know, and I won't know anybody, and, you know, and that whole entropy thing, or whatever you call it, that's the word that came in my head. But yeah, I mean, just that whole status quo thing. We go along, we do what we do. No, I'm Lulu. I don't go to these, off the cuff events. But, you know, it's just beautiful. And this is exactly what we're talking about. What's the address? Dawn wants to know, because she's close too. So you might want to share that with her. Yeah, y'all should meet up and go.
Heck yeah, heaven yeah. Oh, sure. Yes, I will. I'll get it to whoever wants it. Yeah.
And George has his hand up. Go ahead, George.
I was just going to say, I just became aware of that. I don't know whether it was Regina or somebody mentioned that he was in Florida there. I'm going to be in Florida real close to where Don's at. Don and I are actually going to get together soon and meet in person. And, you know, we're in the Tampa area there, so it's probably a little bit further away, but that would be a great thing to go have that experience. So, I'm looking forward to getting down cool. there and having that experience. I loved what Glenn said about social anxiety because, you know, most of my life I have been there, and I think the one thing that really I've noticed has really decreased is that social anxiety. I mean, most of my life I was like over the board, felt like I never fit in, wasn't good enough, didn't know how to relate to people, and et cetera, et cetera. But as I've gotten older, somehow that has faded. Oh, 90%, you know, so I think that's part of the great thing about where I'm at in life now. There's a lot of satisfaction out of just being me, whatever that means. So, and I know I'm not alone. I think that's a universal thing. So I see we're almost at the end of the time. I'll stop.
Thank you, George, for sharing. And I appreciate what you said about, you know, as you get older, I mean, you just care less what people think. You just care less. And that is one of the benefits, you know, you take that along with the arthritis, right? we are quite blessed to get to that point in our lives where we just care less about what everybody else things, because then we get to follow our hearts and we get to do what we want to do, no matter how goofy it looks or who agrees or who doesn't. It just doesn't matter. And we just follow our hearts. So I think that's a real good takeaway. The one more thing I want to say is that what really struck me with this talk was that with this, gosh, what's the name of it? The motivation to get going. What did we call it? Anybody?
Activation motivation or
something. The activation energy. it's the same force that we need to use to get out of our rut of being an ego. You know, to when somebody pisses us off, and we go, oh, you know, if we can, in that 5 seconds, if we can, in that first 5 seconds, that's the time to turn that around, right? Because if you run with the whatever story, whatever upset there is for longer than 5 seconds, that's the story you get. And that story is ego. And so it's this inspiration, as Rhoda was saying, that comes in the first 5 seconds. It does. The thought comes in the first 5 seconds. You could use your spiritual practice on this situation. You could see this as a healing opportunity that comes and goes just that quick. And I think that's a big part of what's being said here to us. Okay. Love you guys. Thanks. I love this. I love doing this with you guys. It's always perfect. Thank you so much. And keep the suggestions coming. Aw, love you too. I do the W better. Bye.